In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Back in 2009, I was scheduled to and attended the commissioned officer training course at Maxwell Air Force Base, Alabama, just a few hours down the road from us here. And at that course, their goal is to take future and current doctors, lawyers, and chaplains and turn them into military officers to be able to lead, to be able to navigate the organization, to understand how it functions, and hopefully to be able then accomplish the mission. But in this training, it started every morning at about 4:45, where you'd get woken up, marched out for physical training, some running, some calisthenics, very, very joyous activities in June in Montgomery, I assure you. And of course, after PT, you'd have to get cleaned up, you'd have to eat breakfast, and then you'd have a day full of classes or leadership scenarios that you'd go through. And you were doing this with a group of about 15 or 16 other officers who were part of the little flight. And at some point, you would eventually get to bed at about 10:30, because after dinner, you were working on papers and presentations you had to give or briefings you had to write. And of course, they're looking for any little error you might make. If you ever studied military writing, there's a whole book on how to abbreviate a state properly. Some are two-state abbreviations, some are two-letter, some are four-letter. It depends on what you're putting it on. It's a lot of joy to make sure you have no errors depending on what document you're turning in. And so we would often be a little bit tired during this training, and the main auditorium that we would get briefed in was affectionately known as the Big Red Bed, because it had red chairs, and you had to do everything you could not to fall asleep in the middle of the briefings, because you'd get in trouble, of course, if you fell asleep. So if you were tired, you got to go stand up, not as a punishment, but so you could make sure you could stay awake and participate in that training. But what was curious about all of that training, about everything that we went through, is that at the very beginning, they told us, you can't actually pass this course by yourself. It's not possible. We've put too much stuff into the course for you to do it alone. You're going to have to rely on your classmates. You're going to have to rely on your wingmen. You're going to have to help each other out, not cheating, of course, but you help each other out to make sure that you can get the mission accomplished. And they said, we do this here because this is the way it really is in Big Blue as well. You're not going to be able to accomplish the mission on your own. It takes an entire team effort. And I think when it comes to Christianity, we in the Orthodox Church probably have a pretty good understanding of this. In fact, we hear quite often that you go to hell by yourself and we're saved together, right? We're saved in the community, we're saved in the church. And we see an interesting encounter of community today in the gospel, in Christ's healing of the man who was born blind. And this particular encounter is very different from many that we hear in the gospel for a couple of reasons. One is that the man doesn't actually engage Jesus. Jesus engages him. He's just sitting there begging, minding his own business. He's not asking to be healed. He doesn't have friends who bring him and lower him in through a roof. He is just sitting there. And it's actually Jesus' disciples who start the conversation of, well, why was he born blind? Was it his sins or his parents' sins that caused him to be born blind? And the answer to this is stunning. Neither. It's so that the works of God may be made known. Now, at this point in the gospel, it's really easy for us to kind of jump on the disciples and ask them why they would ask this question. What difference does it make how this man got where he was? His sins or his parents? Why would that even be a thing? But we remember that a lot of times when Christ heals people, he forgives their sins, and then he heals them as a way of showing that he did in fact have the power to forgive sins. So it's actually kind of makes sense that the disciples would ask this question about this man that they saw just from the other encounters they have with Christ. But he does this mighty work for this man who's born blind, this man who's been sitting there, who's been begging, whose parents are still alive. We hear about their encounter, their engagement with the leaders of the people at that time, the religious leaders. But we see that this man is there to show the mighty works of God, not only in his own life for himself, for his own salvation, but also for the salvation of his family, for those in the city who knew him and who saw this major change in his life, and even for us here today, who read this story, this powerful encounter that Christ has with this man. And it's intriguing because when we go and we hear this story of healing, this is the sixth sign, if you will, in John's Gospel. On the sixth Sunday after Pascha, we hear this sixth sign. And in this, Christ does something that is unheard of in healing a man born blind. In fact, St. Ambrose tells us, let me get it right here, he said, "There is indeed a kind of blindness, usually brought on by serious illness, which obscures one's vision, but that can be cured given time. And there is another sort of blindness caused by cataract that can be remedied by a surgeon who can remove the cause, and so the blindness is dispelled. Draw your own conclusion. This man who was actually born blind was not cured by surgical skill, but by the power of God." Now, I didn't know that they were able to be fixing cataracts back in those days. I don't know if I'd let somebody touch my eyes even today. That would be hard for me. I can't imagine back then. But there was an idea that you could be healed of blindness, but it wasn't possible for this man and his situation. And Irenaeus, he paints a clearer picture for us in this, as he says, this is the Creator completing his work. This is the Creator completing his work. As Jesus makes clay and puts it on the man's eyes, think back to Genesis, and hopefully everybody who has, you know, read some Genesis over the Lent that we just had and the people of that time would have been familiar with Christ making mankind from the dust of the earth. And so we see the Creator completing that which was begun in him. But we also see how important community was in this situation. We see the importance of what the disciples thought of the man, of what the leaders of the people thought of the man, his parents. You see their fear. They refused to give an answer of this miracle they saw because they were so scared of what was going to happen to them because of this community. But we live and we work and we worship in community. And so as we hear this story, and we see the encounters and the engagement that take place, hopefully this causes us to reflect on how we're living in community with each other. Are we asking if somebody's in a particular situation because of the sin in their life? Or do we simply maybe see the situation they're in as an opportunity for us to help them, to provide a meal, maybe to help them financially, maybe to do some babysitting or child care for them, giving of clothes, whatever it may be, even in a simple conversation and taking the time to spend time to give them our most valuable resource, that time that we can't get back with others. We live in a world that is very divided. We see it on the news. We see it politically. We're getting ready for another presidential election. There's rumors of who's going to be nominees. It's already starting. And this division that we see, not just in our country, but in the world, the devil is trying to divide us as well. He's trying to bring division in the community. And so as we see Christ who comes to bring healing, to bring that fullness of life to us, let us participate in that and live in accordance with the commandments that he's given us, loving one another, sharing with one another, and witnessing to Christ to each other. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen.